Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
We're just a week away from one of golf's great institutional occurrences, the Masters, the fabulous Masters, where all the Southern gentlemen gather to watch the players. Now, I'm very thrilled. I'm very excited. Thank you to the fan club and Stephen Douglas McIntyre and everybody
S-D-M.
For making this
S-D-M.
Happen. I could not be more
S-D-M.
Thrilled.
S-D-M.
Sparrow. I have not. I've not even gotten around to thanking people properly for that, but I've certainly mentioned it on the show. But there's more to be done, and I'm not unaware of that responsibility, which is why I will contact people. I will drop a line to as many people as I possibly can, and say thank you personally because I think it's necessary.
Not a lot of people know this, Mike, but I will share this knowledge on you. Is that
yes.
There's a writing desk in the far corner of Butler Cabin, fully stocked with stationery and a fountain pen, envelopes. Yes. And two cent stamps.
An ink container to dip your pen in.
Oh, what you're referring to is the inkwell.
The inkwell, yes, the inkwell. Thank
the
you
inkwell that was donated in 1978 by Raymond Floyd.
Will you be sending a telegram to anyone from the Masters?
Oh, of course, yes. I will be stopping by the local railroad station and sending a message on the wireless out to all of my good friends.
The man who will take the message, you'll recognize him. He has a high brass button blue uniform and a massive pocket watch.
Bobby Jones! Anyway, yes, it is the Masters. I am excited. I'm excited,
I don't
frankly,
know
for the getaway, for just a weekend getaway.
Georgia, right?
Augusta, Mrs. O'Meara and I are going to be on a plane Saturday and coming back on Monday. No baby. Oh, my God. That's going to be exciting for us.
Are you going with the baby and coming back without the baby?
Yes, we are leaving the baby. We are donating the baby to the Masters. He's not a baby. He's a three-year-old boy.
Can you see them doing tours at Augusta and saying, if you look over at Amen Corner, there's a young wild boy that was donated in the year 2017 by the O'Meara's. He lives there. Yeah.
He was over by the Eisenhower Pine just going nuts, and we said, leave him there. Give him to the ground screw.
He subsists on a diet of azaleas and dyed blue water.
But you have a quiz for me, correct?
I do. This is a Masters trivia quiz, and I found it fascinating because I know that you and I, now that we are nearing our second quarter century together, we always used to complain about USA Today on the Friday before the Masters. Because
The same publication,
paper every year.
Every single year. And the golf magazines do it on the same year. They show the holes.
Right.
They do that. And believe me, I understand the undulation of the Masters, the high and low. I understand how that works. So thank you for sharing that publication.
Now, some of these this is from the Associated Press. Some of these are multiple choice. And if you want multiple choice, I can give them to you.
Multiple choice, but I love essays as well. I was a good student.
If you'd like to go, there's a small gift shop just outside the main entrance that will sell blue books.
Can I get a question answered before we proceed? I'm fascinated.
Unquestionably.
Now, the camera angle I have has the, as Ashley frantically adjusts her hair, it's beginning to distract me. But I notice she has a beverage. Now, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
The identity, the can that I see, I am seeing the back of this can, and I am unable to discern what what beverage this is, and it's just been fascinating me. It has the color of what I might perceive to be a regular can of Dr. Pepper, but I'm not sure, because it could very easily be one of those high-caffeine energy drinks. I have no idea. Oh, she's giving me the okay, so she's saying
I was hoping it would be one of our preferred beverages at Augusta, like Moxie or perhaps Cheer
Moxie's
Wine.
Moxie's Main. Stop that. Turn the can around. Let me see.
Turn that can around.
Hold it up to the camera so I can see it, Ashley. Intern Ashley. That is Double Shot Energy. Starbucks Double Shot. How much Mexican Mocha. Oh, my God. Mexican Mocha. That is so exciting.
Mexican.
My heart can't beat anymore.
What was that? Would you excuse me?
My heart can't Mexican.
What the fuck happened to you just then? What the... Hold on, take
get
a
the
break.
Paddles.
I was laughing at the notion of all that caffeine.
Follow what the brain wants to do.
No, no.
Oh my God.
No, we need to take things at a much slower pace.
All right.
Therefore,
I'm ready for my quiz.
All right, here's your quiz from the Associated Press, Mike.
Yes.
Which player had the lowest final round to ever win the Masters?
Mm.
I can give you your choices.
All right.
A, Mike Weir. Mm-hmm. B, Garrett Player. Uh-huh. Or C, the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus. And the accent stops now.
Ooh.
Oh, man. I'll say Mike Weir.
Oh.
Looking for Gary Player there.
Ooh. Oh, man, that's what I wanted.
All right. Gary Player.
Who is the oldest Masters champion?
Jack Nicklaus.
That is exactly right. And you remember that? I remember watching
the Golden
that.
Bear.
Yeah,
that was
special.
An amazing, amazing
very,
afternoon.
Very special. Horrible pants, though.
You know what? That would be the first thing that pops to mind because
yeah,
they have like those
double knit, nasty pants,
plaid pants.
Yeah, yeah,
that
horrible.
Shot with him holding the putter up when he's sinking the. It's like on 17, right?
With his pants.
Yeah,
yes,
it's yeah, horrible. Terrible. They really should mm-hmm. Photoshop that. Who was the first foreign-born player to win the Masters?
Mm.
I can give you your choices. Herman Kaiser, Gary Player, or Sandy Lyle?
What about Telly Savalas?
Yes,
Gary Player.
Gary Player is right.
Thank you.
And where
thank
is he? Australian?
South African.
South African.
Gary Player is South African. He takes a bit of his fit in the be. He talks about how fit he is.
Only one player has ever made a hole-in-one on number 4 at the Masters. Who was it?
Tiger Woods.
It's a good guess.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
not
is
right.
It a multiple choice or
it
not?
Is. It is.
All right, well, give it to give
KJ
me the
Choi,
choices.
Padraig Harrington, or Jeff Sluman?
I think Harrington did it.
Sluman.
Jeff Sluman.
Jeff Sluman, the only one to ever in Masters play.
Used to be represented by a buddy of mine. Actually.
Really?
Slew, yes. Absolutely.
Hey, Slew.
Slew.
Only
slew
one.
Me, slew you.
Only one slew me. Hey.
Used to hang out and party with a bunch of sports agents back in the day. Back in the day where I had a couple of shekels to rub together.
Yeah, they were after your money, Mike. They didn't
oh
like
my
you.
God. They
hey, Chang,
drunk.
Get one of everything.
What's, Wang. What's with the
it's
pictures,
Wang?
Wang. It's a parking lot.
Hey, Chang.
Hey, don't tell him you're Jewish. Okay, fine. Who is the only, because you know the tradition at the in Butler Cabin is that the previous year's champ gives the current champ the green jacket, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Who is the only player to ever win at the Masters and have to put the green jacket on himself? Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, or Tiger Woods?
Hmm.
Boy, I'm going to say Nick Faldo.
I'm sorry.
Oh. God, I'm really screwing
Jack
this
Nicklaus.
Up.
Jack Nicklaus won back-to-back in the 60s, right?
Oh, he won back-to-back. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Name the,
I didn't know that.
Name the Masters champion who made birdie on his final 4 holes. That would be either Arnold Palmer, Mark O'Meara, or Charles Schwartzel.
Mark O'Meara.
Charles Schwartzel.
Damn it. Oh, see, there's a guy that I watching the grass grow, watching a guy like that.
Well,
Charles Schwartzel.
His name
that's
is
just
Charles.
A no-name journeyman, no personality. Mark O'Meara, he was fun.
He was fun. But I'll tell you what about Schwartzel. He can go fuck himself.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Don't say that at Augusta, Mike.
No, they don't like profanity.
No.
Thank you.
Name the player to compete in 50 consecutive Masters. Gary
Gene
Player.
Gene Sarazen.
Oh, I was going to give you your choices.
Oh, go ahead.
Gary Player, Doug Ford, Arnold Palmer.
Gary Player.
Arnold Palmer.
God damn.
The late Arnold Palmer.
Man, are you a golf fan?
No, but he's screwing me up with his pacing of this. Give me the question and go right to the
I'm sure it's the pacing.
Well, no, I mean, are they all multiple choice or not?
They are. I said
right
at the front.
All
right. Right on, boy. Name the last player to win the Masters as his first attempt. In his first attempt, I should say.
See?
Charles
See what I'm
Cootie.
With here?
Yeah, yeah, it's utter hell, Mike.
Read the question again and then get me.
Name the last player to win the Masters in his first attempt. Charles Cootie, Ian Woosnam, or Fuzzy Zeller?
Oh, Fuzzy. Fuzzy.
Ian Woosnam.
Oscar snaked you.
Fuzzy!
It's Fuzzy Zeller.
There you go.
That's
Mike,
right.
How could I not guess Fuzzy?
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. All right.
Fuzzy Wuzzy hated the different. Which amateur...
Did he? Oh, that's right. Known racist.
Yeah.
He made the comment about Tiger Woods' dinner and serving fried chicken.
Which amateur had a 54-hole lead only to shoot 80 in the final round? Was it Rory McIlroy, Billie Jean Patton, or Ken Venturi?
Billie Jean Patton.
Amazing. It's Ken Venturi.
Jesus Christ.
Who was...
I met Ken Venturi. I chatted with Ken Venturi.
What kind of impression? Was he a good guy?
Yes, phenomenal man.
Oh, yeah, that's
very
cool.
Nice guy. Super nice guy. Captained the President's Cup when I was there back in the day.
Who was the last player to win the Masters without breaking 70 in any of the four rounds? Was it Larry Mize, Zach Johnson, or the hefty Craig Stadler?
Craig Stadler.
I'm sorry. Looking for Larry Mize there.
Okay. I hate this quiz. I fucking hate this quiz.
Name the last player to win the Masters with a final round over par. Was it Craig Stadler, Trevor Immelman, or Jack Nicklaus?
I got a way you can start the show.
Okay.
It was Happy fucking Gilmore, okay?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Mark, good morning, Miss Davis. I am such a fan. Donut?
No, coffee, black, in my dressing room.
Well, I'm not craft service. I'm your leading man on this picture.
Beg your pardon.
I'm Victor Buono. I'll be playing your love interest.
I was expecting someone...
thinner, less homosexual.
Yeah.
I just got off the phone with Harper. She wanted me to comment on a story.
What story?
Betty!
Where's your wheelchair?
It's on the set, of course. Why?
Because you're going to need it after I break your goddamn legs. Where do you get off telling Hopper that you're going to be in the best actress category and I've decided to be supporting?
It was your idea.
What? Have you lost your mind?
Oh, you said you didn't care about awards, that you wanted to support me.
And you took that to mean that I would go into supporting and hand you lead actress?
After all, you have bookend Oscars. I've only got one.
Well, you tell Hopper to print this. I'm not sharing shit with you. And let me tell you something else. I'm going to be the first person to have three Oscars, even though everyone knows I already should have, because I got robbed in 1950.
That's certainly ungracious. Yes, and dismissive of Miss Judy Holliday's winsome performance.
She won by default! That bitch Ann Baxter, she pushed her way into my category and we split the vote. That's why she won.
Well, need I remind you that unlike Eve, you and I share equal billing on this. We're both leads.
Ladies, why are we fighting about the Oscars? We haven't even finished making this movie yet. Can we please concentrate on the matter at hand? There's room for both of you to succeed.
In this town? Are you nuts?
Fuck off, Bob.
And it was Gloria Swanson who was robbed in 1950, not you, bitch!
It's the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Is it a flaw in my personality?
Yes.
Where that brings me so much joy.
You know, untold joy.
I think it's sick. I think it's terrible.
No, but they wouldn't make it if it wasn't a common thread among many people.
I know. That's a clip from Feud with the incredibly talented Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon and Alfred Molina as their director.
Bob Ehrlich. Fuck off, Bob.
If you haven't seen it, Oscar, I know you binged on it.
Mike, I have so many questions.
Oh, okay. Good.
So many questions.
This is the Mike O'Mara Show bonus hour. We thank you, and you are the people that stir the drink for the Mike O'Mara Show. We need you now more than ever, and thank you. You are stepping up and spreading the word. If you're new to the bonus hour, it's commercial free, and
yes,
we tend to say whatever's on our mind, including the uncensored cussing, which is occasionally
some taboo topics.
That's why we were able to play the real clip that
taboo
they use on that. By the way, the first question I have about that show Feud is, I guess they've relaxed some of the standards on that show quite a bit as well.
Well,
right?
You know what? I got a letter.
I know now why it's at 10 p.m.
Yeah, the guy explained to me that it's on cable after 10 so they can say those words.
Safe harbor.
That's why
a lot of
F-bombs.
Yeah,
and the thing is, though, when they're using that, especially when she's in the boardroom with her agent and she's saying, you know, fuck you, Marty.
Yeah.
I mean, You kind of need that.
I looked at Shannon and I said, that's every agent I've ever worked with.
Yeah. Well, the agents
do you have job? I found every job that Chad and I ever signed. I found them and an agent took percentages off of them.
You know what? I go back and I look at that, and to be perfectly honest with you, as far as finding me, I got one gig with an agent, and that was because he had run the radio station prior to that. So
really?
That's why I got the Edge gig. That was it. After that, as far as finding stuff, you know, got to make your own fun, and that's the way agents are, really. And they, you know, and if your agent is going to be as good as how hot you are.
Yes.
True. That's it. I guess that's what he has to work with.
So that's the way it works. And it's just a great example of that. Even if you weren't around for that era, and you know, I mean, things haven't changed all that much. The studio heads don't have the similar. Well, yes, they do. Like the Weinsteins do.
Yeah, but what you're seeing in Feud is the absolute end of the studio system. Like,
which was the Jack Warners and people that could sign somebody, could put somebody under contract, and they'd be.
It wasn't as glamorous as before. Right now, for example, if you're a hot up and coming actor, someone will put you under contract still. You will be put on a retainer for X amount of projects, or two projects, or one project for a year or 2 years, and they'll squat on you as a talent. Now that works sometimes. Now that'll work sometimes. But if you
get the hit, then the key is to the next project. The initial contracts are all dog poop.
So, and usually the initial contracts, like Saturday Night Live, if you sign with them, you sign your life over.
Oh yeah,
you owe them X amount of everything, and for years they may make you a star, and that might be the vehicle to get there. But you're paying for it on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody along the lines of a Michael Myers has to pay Lorne Michaels part of that.
He doesn't pay them. The network owns their life, and I read this within that one book I read while I was in business school about the name escapes me right now, about the industry. The reason why Saturday Night Live is still relevant, and this is before the Trump era that's made it so hot again, is essentially it's cheap, it's low risk, and the upside is huge for the network. NBC, and now Comcast, NBC.
So if a character is created, if a star is created, if a Kristen Wiig comes
around,
they
own their rights for 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And when they make a movie, the NBC gets a piece of that pie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And also,
that depends on how long the contract is.
If you consider the amount of new product Saturday Night Live generates, I think it's maybe 20 to 22 episodes a year, but they still have that time
slot.
It's
the farm team.
52 weeks. So they are, you know, it is a cheap show to produce because they're not paying the talent that much. And so they've got essentially 30 free weeks to sell ads on. And now they've got a syndicated, shortened version, not syndicated, but a truncated version that they run at 10 p.m.
Yes.
That's all free content that NBC is still.
You know, and you know, I've dabbled in that over the years where you've seen it. And the thing is that you only are going to make the real bucks if you are a breakout star.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Well, I
if
mean,
if you're not a breakout star,
heavy, right?
you're going to, you know, you can be a journeyman actor and you can work, but as far as like to get in the door, I think Oscar's right and Rob's right. They have to control your contract and control your money, more importantly.
This is how horrible this business is. Not even from just sheer dollars. What I loved, and the first time I've actually had a real, inside look into the industry back then.
Right.
Was not that it was only that it was just chauvinistic and the way they treated women, you know, as much as I kid around, was absolutely horrible. Right. Mm-hmm. I sat there and I said, there's no way that this is possible without some sort of recourse. But yes, I could see some guy saying nobody wants older women in these films at that time and openly saying it.
Yeah.
I think that the difference is that while now it's you still have heads of networks, you have the Les Moonveses of the world, and you have the Weinsteins, the distributors. But back in the day, it was a much smaller group of guys, and they were ruthless, and they were so all-powerful that they could get that done. And you see that in this 1960s film, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, which starred Joan Crawford and Bette Davis, and there's a show now on FX called Feud, which is just amazingly fun and just beautifully acted and pretty close at least in the portrayals. I'm not sure with all the
What
the
about
details.
The actors? I don't know. I've never seen the movie. I'm going to see the movie
okay,
now that
the,
I'm into
you,
this.
Are you talking about Susan Sarandon yes. and Jessica Lange, or are you talking about Betty Davis
no,
and Joan Crawford?
Susan and Betty.
Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon. Yeah.
The thing that's great, there's so many things I love about this project.
Me
and
too.
Feud is just so much fun because the actresses involved are very similar in the age range that Jessica Lange. They're probably both, Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange are both older.
Yeah.
Than Betty Davis and Joan Crawford were when that was made. But they're, you know, if times have changed.
Is their portrayal the same? I mean,
it's accurate.
Because you know what. Yeah, it's accurate.
I will say this.
Based on everything that's been written and you know, the books and everything along that, apparently that these women were incredibly difficult on their own.
Yeah.
And so when you put them together, this director had this, and it's just, you know, of course they take artistic license.
Yeah,
with it,
but I mean,
but
that,
it's fun.
If you're talking about the actresses, I think that Jessica Lange really captures the way Joan Crawford carried herself. And my favorite moments is when she's being real life Joan Crawford, because that's what you have to imagine, because yeah. that's not what's on film. That's not what's been preserved. And to me, it rings so true.
You'd like to think so.
One thing that they did not capture is that they can't quite make Susan Sarandon as homely, for lack of a better word, as Betty Davis was at that point in her career.
Oh, she was not homely?
She was not a pretty woman.
I'm sorry to be the one who says it.
She almost could pull pretty off like as late as 1950, but
right.
this is 12 years later, and they yeah. do a great job of making her look grotesque in the Baby Jane makeup.
Right.
But when she's in real life, I think she wasn't quite. But then when you're starting with Susan Sarandon, she's very pretty. So
but
it's hard to dumb it down.
Both. I mean, they're both attacking this thing.
And the supporting cast is great. Melina is great.
I don't like to go on and on about actors, but in this case, it's worth it because it's just a lot of fun. And when you see, there's so much out there, Rob, when you put the song that Betty Davis sang on the
Whatever
old Andy
happened
Williams
to
show,
Baby Jane.
And then you see the Susan Sarandon thing and you looped, you layered them together. Yeah, I think it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Oscar, apparently that's the way these two women were. Yes, you have another question.
Yes, I have another question. I'm sorry, I don't know these the real actresses that they're portraying.
Okay.
I don't know them at all. Like,
right.
Before my time,
yes.
to be
yes.
perfectly
yeah.
honest with you. And so
and
they
Shannon
go back
and I are
a
watching
long,
this,
long
and she's like, I need to Google something. And which is, by the way...
But it's a fun way to do it.
Yes.
You can Google like Joan Crawford. And the thing, my memory really of Joan Crawford is Mommy Dearest, which was the character by Faye. And Faye Dunaway, who's now an elder statesman in
yes.
Hollywood. So that, you know, that's
and
how
screwing
far
up
back
the Oscars left and right.
What year was, she was there on stage
I think
screwing up the Oscars.
78
you know?
Was Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest?
About.
And so that's it. So when you, that's my memory
of it.
Both of
them
what,
have passed, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Both
okay.
Joan Crawford long since passed. Betty Davis.
Maybe in
but
the last
1977
10 years.
Joan Crawford died. Whoa.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
1977
That's
she died.
Young.
Yeah, I'm not sure how old she was when she passed away, but you know, the Baby Jane was 1962.
Yep.
Is that when
mm-hmm.
that was on? And it's just they were having a terrible time with the idea that they were not what they were.
Oh,
and that's
man.
That's life. That's
yeah.
that's the way it goes. I mean, you know, I think it's very, very frustrating for anybody that's in the spotlight. And I think it's extremely difficult for women to be in Hollywood
yeah.
still to this day. You know, much, much more difficult for a female star than a male star, I think, to this day.
Oh, I agree.
That's exactly how it rolls.
The dollars and the, I guess, what also fascinated me is that they were always fighting to pay the mortgage.
Yeah,
it
they
seemed,
were struggling.
Right?
Yeah.
They were struggling.
They
because,
lived beyond their means.
Well, they felt they had to create the,
yeah,
image.
The image.
And so it was a catch 22, but that's why she went back and she married that head of Pepsi-Cola, Joan Crawford.
Alfred yeah. Steele.
And then he basically put himself behind the eight ball in debt because she was spending money and because he was building apartments and stuff like that, and he didn't have the money to do that.
People theorize
amazing.
that he died because of it, because he was a sensible businessman his entire life, and after about a year and a half with Joan Crawford, heart attack.
Oh my God.
Because she really bankrupted the man.
So
Joe, do you remember in Mommy Dearest when they're in the New York apartment? Take out the wall.
Joan Crawford. I'm looking at her death and legacy. This is on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But I didn't know this. When she had passed, she had an estate that was worth $2 million, right?
Okay.
Which is pretty damn good compared to what you would expect seeing that movie. You're like, whoa, but I'm sure that the house and everything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she's had four children. She left two of her children, Cindy and Kathy, $77,000.
Those are the twins.
And then, but her two eldest, it says she explicitly
Christopher and Christina
disinherited her two eldest.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I quote, "Is my intention to make no provision herein for my son Christopher or my daughter Christina for reasons which are well known to them," end quote.
Yeah. Right to even in
Man.
Death.
Yeah.
She's evil.
Why?
She's a nasty lady.
Why do you think the daughter wrote that book? She was pissed.
Yeah, this is crazy.
The book Mommy Dearest.
She wrote Mommy Dearest.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote Mommy Dearest about the child of a... Well, anyway, check it out, Feud. We've covered it. My God.
Well, I have another question. I'm so sorry.
Okay,
no, it's
go
fine.
Ahead.
This
you
is
just
fresh.
Dove in. I know you have you finished your binge of it?
Well,
did
I'm
you
all... Yeah, I'm at the... We have
third
more
episode.
No, I'm at the fourth episode. It's done.
Okay, so you're caught up.
Yeah, I'm caught up.
Episode 5 drops on Sunday.
Yes, I'm caught up.
Very good.
Who wins the Oscar?
I can tell you that. It's not going to spoil the plot. The only person, you know, in that the last episode where you hear the scream?
No.
You sit down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bette Davis nominated, Joan Crawford not.
Oh,
that's right? Am I right for Baby Jane?
Yeah.
That's the way.
Yeah.
Sick burn.
It is so great.
I mean,
it is
incredible.
Great.
And
it
really does.
But Oscar,
Bette
you
Davis
also,
win or?
I don't think she won.
I don't think she wins. You know, I don't think the movie, I think it got something for like black and white cinematography.
Was Bette Davis a better actress?
Yes.
Okay.
A thousand percent better actress.
Now, I mean, she had her moments. Joan Crawford was really good in Mildred Pierce, but Joan Crawford also slept with everybody. That's how she got her role.
And as Bette Davis says in the show Feud, when the character says this, you know, she was better looking in, you know, than Bette Davis in her day. She had a better, you know, woman in her prime.
Yes.
Much better looking than Bette Davis. But as far as talent, you know, it was all Bette Davis. She was a natural actress.
Wow.
And she did a fantastic, approached it with a little bit more intellectual acumen, I think, than that. So it's a, you know, I don't know why I'm so fascinated by these characters.
Because it's a great story, and it almost doesn't even matter that it's real. But the fact that it's based in reality makes it all the more tasty.
Look, Shannon looked at, there's a scene where they're at the Golden Globes in, I think it's episode 1 or 2, where...
When Marilyn Monroe is
Marilyn Monroe is accepting her Golden Globe.
And Joan Crawford's drunk in the audience.
Yeah, and Shannon was there with one of her friends, and we're all watching this, right? They're drinking wine, I'm just sitting there. Tell him to shut up so I can actually talk about this tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
you show him, mister.
And they're like, "We really like Joan because Joan is essentially bitching about how pretty Marilyn is and how plastic she is."
Mm-hmm.
And we're totally going to be that way when we're older. You know? but you can find a character that anyone, whether you know who these people are or not, because usually, look, I don't know if it's shallow or it's naive. But when I saw this story, I was like, this is not for me. 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 I don't know who these ladies are. I've heard their names, but I don't even have any context. But both of you talking about the genuine acting and the story and how it's based on reality drew me in. And I got to tell you, there's so much great TV on to really flip my skirt, if you will, about a show.
I will.
Blew my mind.
Well, Oscar, promise me this.
Cool.
When all is done, take 2 hours and watch the actual movie.
We're going to do that.
It's on YouTube, isn't it, Mike? You found it on YouTube.
It'll be a slog, to be honest with you, because the movie is...
With the background, I think it'll keep his interest.
The background, and when it gets into the meat of the movie, the horror of it, I mean, Bette Davis creates a horror character like no other. I mean, it really, she was spectacular.
The makeup.
You know, hearing you talk just now, I fear that I'm going to jump on board the sexism train a little bit and think about it. When you're talking about that reaction that Joan Crawford had, and then when you talk about the idea of men and women, and I think about, and I just, my mind wandered a little bit, and I was thinking about the fact that my own personal experience with the way my wife is treated down here, there are
she's Marilyn.
They're two distinct categories.
And you've got Jones running around.
There are women. There are women,
sharks.
Jones all
women,
day.
In their 60s and 70s that, you know, befriended Carla. She's got friends that we go over to the house and we're fine with that. And then you get the mean girls who are older and just never
they want
gave
her off
her,
the set.
Yeah.
They never gave her the time of day.
Off the set.
And I'm thinking about the way men are, and it's... I'm sorry, ladies, and I hope you don't think I'm being a sexist guy here, but the fact is when I think about the way we older guys, say, for example, I'm out at a party and I meet you know, a 25-year-old guy that's hanging out.
An Adonis.
And it's like curiosity and kind of like you and kind of rah-rah, I remember.
We celebrate it.
Yeah.
I'm right?
Keep doing sales. Nice
it's
tan.
It's a pretty significant difference between... men and women.
Take off your shirt.
Yeah, you know, you're like, nice to meet you, buddy. Meanwhile, across the say, we're going to kill you.
No. I think what Mike is saying,
I will go,
if we
now,
see
hold
a good
on,
look.
But wait, yes. I will play golf with guys that are older, and the vast majority of them will be, hey, that's great. I wish I used to be able to hit that long. And then you will get the guys that don't like it,
mm-hmm.
that can't really deal with it. And when I'm playing with like a younger golfer or something like that, I friggin' love it. I love the fact, you know, you just accept the reality of the situation. But then there are guys that don't want to say anything, and that's
guys
my
aren't as catty as women, though. We're just not.
No, I think you're right.
Bottom line, we're not. And look,
but
that's for all of us.
Ashley, would you like to? Ashley, do we have Maddie and Ashley?
Yeah, we do.
Right now? Would you ladies like to weigh in on this? I mean, you're young girls. I mean, so you don't have that perspective yet. But as far as women, I mean, what are your thoughts on it? I'm curious about that.
Okay, so my thoughts are a little skewed because I date women.
Yes, because you're in the life. I understand that. Right?
Yeah,
the lifestyle.
So it's very interesting to date women as a woman because you'll say something really nice and they'll think you're being catty because all women like think that other women are catty.
Ah, so can you give us an example?
What would be a misconstrued compliment?
Like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I love your pants, when in reality I'm staring at her butt.
Go on.
Pony, go on, please. Please longer.
And they'll turn around and be like, they'll assume that it's a backhanded compliment, and they'll be like, okay. And
oh, man.
Can I ask you this? This is and if I sound like an old ignorant fart that doesn't know about, you know, the life, I will say. So when you're dating women, when you're with a room full of lesbian women, and you are sitting there, and do you find, is there, and I have no idea whether this is true or not, is there an elevated level or a diminished level of cattiness? I will tell you, from my watching The L Word, I would say it may in some cases be elevated. Because you're trying to date these women, too.
The
you know?
L Word is a soap opera. It's not.
Okay. It's not
I've
reality.
Never been in a room filled with exclusively lesbians. That's like a heaven. But
I tend to agree.
But it's generally, I don't know, it seems less catty.
I think what I got from watching people. That soap opera, The L Word, is that it's kind of, you know, it's like women dating guys. I mean, it's the mm-hmm. same thing.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you have the same love.
Still a relationship,
triangles.
Yeah.
You say, Maddie, would you like to weigh in on, do you think, you know, with the whole cattiness factor?
Yeah, I agree. I think women, too, like our aggression is just so different. We're much more passive aggressive, which I think can come across as a lot more catty as well. So
I think
smart,
so.
which builds.
Yeah, simmers. Tension.
Yes.
Crockpots.
I will never, as a casual observer, it will never fail to infuriate me when I see women do that just based on the way somebody looks. And it is inevitable. If a stunning woman walks into a room, it's inevitable that a portion of the women
hatering.
In the room will just
mm-hmm. yep.
right at the very beginning. But then again, we guys won't make any assessment whatsoever on the personality. We'll just be like, you know, so we're bad.
Would you like a drink? You
know. Yeah. Hi, how are you? Boy, that's great. So you just play golf? Yeah, that's great. Where are you doing? Where are you from? Hi, how are
got
you?
Got a sprinkler outside. Let's play it. You know,
then the wife's going to get away from her. Get away from her. Let's go to yoga. Anyway, so.
I will approach her and I'll say, you know, I'm married, but she's not well.
That's the Rickles line. That's the Rickles line. Help me with the jewelry. All right, let's play games.
Let's play game time. All right, this comes with a small story, Mike. There is a game show on Saturday mornings all over the world, but here in D.C. it's on Channel 50, and it is called Save to Win. And it might be the stupidest game show I have ever seen, and I am therefore addicted to it. It is sponsored exclusively by Family Dollar. And they
family
have,
dollar stores.
Yes,
right?
And they have built the set to look like a Family Dollar store, but a Family Dollar store has never been this clean or this organized. And
you haven't seen the Florida Family Dollar store.
It's a good one.
We got some good ones down here. Had a burglary in one the other day.
Oh, well, you don't want to rob the nice one then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it is hosted by, have you ever watched Down Home with the Neelys on the Food Network?
Oh, that's the super syrupy man and woman that got divorced.
Exactly.
Like they love each other and they hated each other.
Well, now he has stepped out of the relationship to host.
Oh, you're kidding. That guy survived? That guy's on television?
Mike, he's on television and he's talking like this.
Welcome to the show where smart shopping leads to money in your pocket.
Our Family Dollar
store is filled with hundreds of great brands at everyday low prices.
Mm.
And those products just might win one of our teams $5,000. I'm Pat Neely, and it's time to save to win, baby.
I love the theme song. But here's the thing. I've watched every episode. No one ever wins $5,000. They normally walk out of there with like $280.
And the production value is horrific.
Horrible. Home video looking.
I loved it when DJs became game show hosts.
They were the slickest.
I loved it when they had professional broadcasters become game show hosts, but now they just give it to any random television person.
I think he must be an investor in it because I can't see anyone really giving him the job.
I've got stake in this horrible game show.
I will explain just briefly so you know how the game works.
Save to win?
Save to win, Mike.
Is it like a Price is Right?
Oh, God. It's like
sort of
Captain 20.
Yeah. It looks like
that
Captain
type of
20.
Set, that old green screen, like they just took someone else's set and repurposed it.
And the most beautiful thing, they play to an audience that isn't there. There is no studio audience, but there's applause and laugh tracks.
They're playing to a brick wall.
Yeah. So the first thing is Pat Neely comes out and he talks to the Save to Win associate who really looks like she just flew in on a broom. Her name is Mariana and she stands behind a really bad looking.
So she's not a spokesmodel? She's not attractive?
Well, no, she's not at all.
Okay.
She's horrifying looking. And she's very pale.
How is she horrifying looking?
Baby Jane horrible.
A lot of makeup on a very pale face and harsh. She's harsh looking.
Okay.
And the lighting is not helping.
No, it's not. It's not. You know what? She might have done better in the days before High Def.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's how he introduces her.
Welcome to Save to Win here at our Family Dollar store. And let's welcome our associate, Mariana.
Hello, Pat.
Hey, darling. Mariana, are you ready to fill up those shopping carts, honey?
Oh, you know I am.
All right.
Oh, you know I am.
A lot of baby and a lot of honey.
Yeah.
A lot of that. Right.
So the first round.
Fill up the shopping cart, honey.
Shopping, honey. So
yes,
the first round is generic. Yeah, she is. Yeah, you can show her to Mike if you like.
I wonder if they're married.
Maybe. Maybe she's the reason that they are no longer together.
I don't think she's a witch.
Oh, Mike, you got to get to know her personality.
It looks like she's got a wig on. The bangs are all wrong.
Yeah.
It's really not good.
All right.
So the first round is generic.
I go to a yoga class with her.
Yeah. It's generic.
Why is she in a polo?
Because that's the Family Dollar uniform.
Save to win.
Save to win.
Save to win, honey.
So the first round is generic grocery questions. The second round is so stupid. It is called smell, taste, touch, where they have three random pieces of grocery that one of the contestants wears big blindfold goggle type things, and they have to identify three items by smelling, tasting, or touching them. And so think about how gross this is. Here is an example. Here is one of the examples of the things they have to choose from.
Three items that Brianna will have to identify. Family gourmet prunes.
What is it? Family gourmet?
Family gourmet prunes.
He said prunes weird.
Yeah, he says a lot of things weird.
Prunes.
Prunes.
Three items that Brianna will have to identify. Family gourmet prunes.
He said prunes with an M. He
and
said PR. Hold on a second. We got to stop on it. Look, I'll take it. He said PRUMES, prunes.
I think, he's softening the end. Let's hear it one more time.
He three said
items
with an M.
That Brianna will have to identify. Family gourmet prunes.
Prunes.
And family gourmet yogurt raisins.
So what they make these people do is smell, taste, and put their hands in this stuff.
But what they don't have is their partners. They're isolated backstage, but when they return, they'll each have to identify three food items. but they're going to be blindfolded.
They're blindfolded.
And they'll have to identify each item by touching it, smelling it, or tasting it, which sense they use is up to their partners.
Is it a prune?
It's a prune. It is exactly a prune.
It's but a delicious, fat, meaty prune.
The best part. Oh, I'm sorry, Oscar.
Hold on, Oscar says something.
In the third quarter of last year, right? I'm sorry. The third quarter of last year, Family Dollar sold over $5 billion in goods.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
There are over 7,000 plus stores across this country.
You want to invest in that, invest in Family Dollar.
Wow. Yeah.
$0.09 per share after refinancing debt, Mike.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, I like them because also every now and then in their food section, you can get a good deal on prunes.
Where's the game
we're going to play, by the way?
We're right up to it. It's round three, and it is called...
What's in the bag, my brother?
Where they actually put groceries in the bag, and it's a memory game. It's a memory game as we play What's in the Bag, My Brother.
What's in the bag, my brother?
And you're going to oppose Oscar. It's Oscar's birthday, so he's going to get to go first. Here's how the game plays.
Okay, baby.
I'm going to play a list of five products, and you have to recall them. No writing down. Hands to yourself.
I'm listening.
I won't write anything down.
Mike, I want to see your hands. And now, what's so great about this is, as Pat Neely tells us the items, they're coming out the bad grocery conveyor belt with the what looks like prom decorations
on it.
All right.
Well, so they have the advantage of seeing them. We don't.
Well, Mike, you're also a little bit brighter than the average save to win contestant.
All right.
So I think you'll do. Here is round one of the memory game, which is called
What's in the Bag, My Brother.
Here are the products.
All right. Here we go. Cottonelle bath tissue, Pringles, mechanical pencils, ladies speed stick deodorant, and family gourmet prunes.
Prunes.
All right, Oscar, you go first. Name one of the five items that was in the bag.
Cottonelle
bath tissue,
yes,
is a match. Mike.
Prunes.
Family gourmet prunes, yes. Oscar.
Speed stick.
Lady speed stick deodorant, yes.
Pencils.
Mechanical pencils, we'll give it to you. Now, if Oscar can remember the last item, he will win the round.
I thought it was prunes.
No, the last item, there's one more item that has not been mentioned.
Cottonelle, speed stick, pencils, prunes.
No. I'm sorry. The answer we're looking for, Pringles. And Mike.
Pringles.
Mike, you win that round.
He didn't say anything.
No, he was the last one.
You think
one.
You can read my writing, though, when I wrote it
down? Oh, that's not a cheater, cheater.
I was looking at the camera. But I was looking at the camera when I wrote him down, so I would
Why
do
would
that.
You right. cheat?
I'll play lit because I'm older. Let's
All right. Are you guys ready for...
To be honest with you, Oscar, if you'd like the honest answer, I feared this game.
Oh,
when
no.
When he told me about it before the show.
It's the memory game.
Solid recall.
It's just a simple memory game. And now this is...
To be honest with you, Oscar, I feared this game before
you just said that. Here is... round two, in which there are seven items, and Mike is the leadoff guest.
Ready.
So here is prunes. Here's your list.
All right, here we go. Knorr chicken pasta sides, Pantene conditioner, family pet dog biscuits, family wellness baby powder, family gourmet lemon berry punch, family chef whisk, and
what?
Family gourmet gummy bears.
Right, Mike, you lead off. There are seven items in the Family Dollar grocery bag.
Pantene hair product.
Pantene conditioner is correct.
Nor chicken
pasta sides. We'll accept it, yes.
Gummy bears.
Mike, family gourmet gummy bears, but we'll accept it, yes.
Pet powder.
I'm sorry. We cannot accept that. No, I'm sorry.
Do I need to come up with one?
No.
No, you win, Mike.
You won another round, Mike.
Hey, and I won that one legitimately. Yeah. What was showing my hand.
What was it, the family pet? What?
You confused family pet dog biscuits and family wellness baby powder.
Oh.
You said it was dog powder.
I was listening to it.
Powder.
I've never powdered my dog's tuchus.
It's high powdered, Jonathan. All right, very good. That's an oldie but goodie. All right.
That's a winner. All right. Let us go. This is another five-item package, and Oscar leads on this one. No, Mike leads on this one because we will invert the order.
He controls the board.
Mike controls the board. Let's go with round three.
Here's a look at the first item. It's Crest Kids Sparkle Toothpaste. Kingsford Charcoal Lighter. Family Gourmet Almonds. Family Dollar Acne Wash. Dayquil Coal and Flu Liquid.
All right, Mike. Five items in the bag. You're up
lighter
2-1.
Fluid. Lighter
Kingsford
fluid.
Charcoal Lighter. Yes.
Almonds.
Almonds. And those are Family Gourmet Almonds. Yes. Mike.
Eye powder. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Mike!
I'm sorry. I was playing around.
It's just eye
toothpaste. Kids toothpaste.
Kids Crest Sparkle Toothpaste. Yes.
Oh, man.
This is where the rubber hits the road.
Family Gourmet Lettuce.
I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Wow. That is incorrect. The two items that you guys did not get, Family Dollar Acne Wash. And
that I was, see, I didn't get that when he said it.
And Dayquil Cold and Flu Liquid.
Man.
Oh, I love that stuff.
I'm a NyQuil guy. That's probably why.
Oscar, you lead on this one.
I like my brands.
Yeah, you do. You don't buy the Family Dollar?
No.
All right. I like both Vicks products, Dayquil and NyQuil, Lavoris.
All of the products from the family.
All the products from the Vicks family. Vicks. And of course, VapoRub.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Look at my mom puts it on.
Oh.
Menti San.
I know this is from the old show, the other show. But we just, for our audience, just to keep track, you took a lot of crap on your other show for that. How old were you
31?
When your mother still, 31? She still applied VapoRub on
my
your
mom,
chest.
I was probably living the last few days of living, my roommates, and she came into the bedroom in her nightgown, and she said, I know you're sick. Mm-hmm. Here's some VapoRub. And then she started rubbing my chest because I was really sick.
Eight years ago.
And she said, oh, you should probably get your chest waxed soon. And I was like, and I told the story. I was like, it's nice to be at home and have your parents take care of you.
Yes.
And
your mom wanted you to get your chest waxed?
My mom said I should probably get my, because she knew I used to get my chest waxed as a younger man.
Mm, you should get Family Dollar wax for your chest.
And the guys, as they should, and I didn't understand at the time. They said,
I've never gotten my chest waxed.
Are you banging your mom? And I said, no, I'm not banging my mother. We just live together. And she goes, why is she still rubbing your chest and letting you know about the wax situation?
Yeah. I do remember the first time that I laughed so hard that I nearly lost, I left the road, is when he referred to his parents as his roommates.
Yeah.
That really, really.
My roommates don't like it when I leave the fridge open.
Knock me out. All right, are you guys ready? Oscar, you've really got to come strong.
Okay, yes.
And you lead on this one, okay?
Yes. Right,
you lead on this one as we save to win.
It's Glade Air Freshener. Family Dollar Flex Straws. Murphy Oil Soap. Family Gourmet Cream of Celery Soup. Q-Tips Cotton Swabs. Windex Glass Cleaner. Kellogg's Nutri-Grain Breakfast Bar.
I was hoping everyone would sing along that time. Oscar. What's
breakfast bar.
Kellogg's Nutri-Grain Breakfast Bar. Yes, Mike.
Straws, Family Dollar straws.
Family Dollar flex straws, yes.
Flex straws.
Oscar.
See, what's hard about this game
also. It
gets also
harder the deeper you get
I also
in.
Don't do the shopping. That's women's work. And I don't know these products. They're just there at my house, right?
Yeah, there it is. Always
do
there.
Not hold up a sign to him. What did you write?
She's trying to help me. She's so sweet.
Yeah, she is sweet. She's a cheater.
I'm going to say... good. Cooking oil.
No, I'm sorry.
Windex.
Windex, Mike.
Oh,
now you're just showing off. Yeah. What you were thinking of was Murphy oil. Murphy oil soap, as he said.
That's what I was thinking.
Murphy oil soap.
Murphy oil soap and Prooms.
Prooms. Also Glade air freshener. Family Gourmet cream of celery soup. Delicious.
Does anybody ever win on this game?
Yeah, they go to the final round, and then they win $200, and they go
here,
home.
Have this bowl of Family Dollar Gourmet Celery Soup.
What is the prop? Why can't I recall these?
Because they're too cheap.
You know what? I don't know. I mean, but I also, I legitimately...
Because you do phone numbers and stuff.
That's the chicken scratching that I did for the first one. Yes. And then here's how I did it. I actually took out all the...
Brands.
What confuses it
the brands.
Is the Family Dollar Super Deluxe. Mm-hmm. And I just went, Windex, air freshener, straws... Gourmet, I mean bars, Nutri-Grain bars, and
you know what you're doing.
Plus my incredible steel trap of a mind.
Yeah, there you go, Mike.
By the way, I legitimately was worried about this game when you sold it before because I thought my short-term memory might be.
Welcome to Brainasium.
What is so great is that he's a mathlete.
Yes.
What is so great is that Mike has deconstructed the game. You and Carla should go on this show.
Oh, Carla would definitely be cast.
Yeah.
That's because I'd love to, meet Mr. Neely.
All right, let's...
And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, that divorce was nasty and messy, and he is not a nice man. He's all that, hey, honey, hi, baby, but, in real life,
like
I, think
my watch.
Was, I think he was chasing it.
And I think he is still running a barbecue restaurant.
Hold on, we have a moment. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up right now.
Please.
Neely's divorce.
Hey, you know what? Absolutely. Can we pit our two interns against each
Neely's
other on a round?
Go right ahead while I do.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So nervous.
Get ready to save to win. Let us do game three, and this will be round one for you guys, okay?
Family Wellness Dental Floss. Hellman's Mayonnaise. Family Dollar Stainless Steel Scours. Family Gourmet Raisin Bran. Family Gourmet Whole Kernel Corn. Vanity Fair Napkins. And Rainbow Popsicles.
We flipped a coin backstage. Ashley, you go first.
Mayo.
Yes, that is Hellman's mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Dental floss.
Family Wellness dental floss. Nice.
Authority.
Rainbow popsicles.
Rainbow popsicles, a good one.
Damn.
Oh, man. That was the one I was going to say.
That was your ace in the hole.
It was. Oh,
You can say shit.
Ah, oh, shit.
It's not in the bag, but do you have any guess?
Family Dollar water. I don't know. Raisin Bran.
Hold it. She got it in.
She got it in. Water?
Wow.
No, yes. Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran is an answer.
Yeah, but
that was Ashley.
Oh, man. You know what? So she saved and won. Ashley wins.
Because I couldn't find any good stuff in reputable sources. From the October 1st, 2014 TMZ,
yes.
A cooking couple that started Down Home with the Neelys hated each other for years, enduring 11 seasons of mutual contempt before calling it quits. Sources close to both Pat and Gina Neely tell TMZ the marriage was doomed even before the show fired up in 2009, and the pressures of TV made things a lot worse. We're told the Neelys had no idea the show would endure, but they rode the fame train when it became a hit, with each accusing the other of having an unquenchable thirst for the spotlight. So we had a modern day.
Oh,
it comes
wow.
full circle, doesn't it? With Joan and with Betty. That's
Feud.
It. Now they've thrown in the towel. He's off by himself. He believes Gina will fail without him. Nice guy. The reason? His family owns the famous recipes, and he's the master chef.
Yep.
As for her, she thinks she can trump him because she's a bigger TV personality. They'll still be tied at the hip in New York City, where they co-own Neely's Barbecue Parlor.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, when they have a business meeting? Like, what do you want to do with the barbecue parlor? I'd like for you to go in the barbecue parlor and set it on fire.
Reality TV destroys
everything.
Marriages.
Yeah. I watched the first episode of these two, and I will tell you, they made me want to puke because they were so phony. Mm. And now I know why the phoniness came through, because they really weren't sincere about that. If you want to see a cooking show where it would be funny, they'd be kind of like taking little barbs at each other. But it was nasty. And they're
true love always comes to the forefront on a cooking show. Just ask Jeffrey Garten.
And she's the better TV personality.
Yes.
And he was obviously the better chef. So, mm-hmm. And now he's a TV personality.
Well, now he owns a game show on Channel 50.
That flipping show on TLC, I think it is now. I don't even know.
Were they just divorced?
Yeah, they just divorced. That couple that really came on to the scene as this no-name couple, like these guys out of the blue, they killed it. then they try to kill themselves, basically, allegedly, and now they're divorced. But, Mike, they continue filming episodes.
Yeah.
They're troopers. They're getting the job done. Don't you think, popular dollar.
Don't you think that the reality television star, you know, in quotation
Flip
marks.
Flip or Flop was the show.
Those are the people on television that will chase the spotlight harder and faster than anybody.
The only one I consume regularly, you know this, is RHOBH. That's
right.
The one I watch. And there are moments when I will look at the cutaways where you will not be looking at the principals that are talking, but you will be looking at the people in the background. And that is, you know, God love them with their success, because in my humble opinion, and Oscar, you can chime in on this whether you agree or disagree, I think that's a special kind of miserable. I think that is a special kind of where you've got to, I don't care if you're faking it, if it's staged, where you have to go out and sit in a restaurant for an entire evening while people around you or you're involved in a cat fight for the consumption of the viewers, even whether it's real or not real. I would think that that would be,
also,
that'd be soul sucking.
Every woman, and make no mistake, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are or how famous you are. The individuals that are on that show that are not as wealthy as the individuals that are have the fame.
Right.
They each want what they don't have. Some of them want the money and the paycheck. The other ones just want the fame. Fair?
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
I agree. Yeah,
and they're fighting for it.
And I'd love to know that, you know, I'm sure somebody's tried to break it down. I would love to know what the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that come from these wealthy lifestyles, how much that actual show itself contributes to those wealthy lifestyle.
Yes.
I would
I've
say
always wanted to
I would
that.
I would almost guarantee it's responsible for maintaining whatever they've
well,
already
the
set up.
Well, the Hiltons were train wrecks, and I imagine that they have their own cash, but that fortune can
like
only
Kyle
go so
and,
far.
Kyle and Kim Richards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean yeah. Kim. I mean, even when you go to Kim's like two bedroom condo, that was probably worth what $700,000.
Yeah, but she spent all that Witch Mountain money years ago.
I guess my point is this: is Kim didn't need more fame. She was famous.
$750,000 per season for Eileen Davidson.
Which one is Eileen? Which one is Eileen
Davidson?
She's
the soap opera star married to Vince Van Patten.
Okay, so that's it. You take her, right?
Hi.
She doesn't necessarily need the dollars, but and she has the fame, but those dollars don't hurt, and she probably would want the fame again, right?
Yeah, you know, you bring up a really good point.
Vanderpump doesn't need the money.
That's what they're chasing.
Vanderpump has taken that show. She doesn't need that cash. I'm sure she's welcome to it.
Well, she got that huge restaurant thing
going
on.
But then all she does is promote her restaurants through that show.
And you take, Mike, the closest we've gotten to...
Oh, I love it. I found a great, great website.
What's it called?
This is great. This is great to wrap this discussion up. The 9 richest housewives in Bravo history.
Please.
Oh, cool.
All right, let me see. We got 9. I'm going to go down to the bottom first, and let me see. I'll give you the top 6.
Okay.
I don't know who Ramona Singer is. Kyle Richards, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, net worth $30 million.
Her husband is a mega real estate agent.
Right, I remember
salary
that, yeah.
Per season, $270,000.
Yeah, she'll take less for the fame, Mike, the fame.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me see here.
And she gets those trips.
So, I don't remember even
so
hearing
Kyle
Richards' name before.
Lisa Vanderpump, net worth $65 million.
She's paid.
And I think that
salary
has to do with the
salary per season, $500,000.
Yeah, dropping the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Put me on TV.
Nene, she's the Real Housewife of Atlanta, right?
Yes,
Nene, is that her name? Net worth $12 million, salary per season, $1+ million.
Yeah, well,
so she's anybody watch The Real Housewives of Orange County?
Oh, yes.
No.
Vicky Gunvalson, net worth $7 million, salary per season, $500,000. And Eileen Davidson, net worth $3 million, salary per season, $750,000. I have to go to the next page.
Are you shocked as I am that there's that much variance between the participants in the same show?
It's what drives them, right?
Yeah.
And how great they are on TV. Vicky, for example, if I'm not mistaken, was a real estate agent. But she had a nice house in Orange County.
Said Yolanda Foster, when she was on the show, salary per season was $100,000.
Yeah, because Yolanda was paid from her music. And her husband.
And to promote. Yeah, she gets that intrinsic.
So, yeah,
it built
goes.
In.
I see the range anywhere from 100,000 to $1 million+.
Thank you.
Do you get the impression that they probably don't reveal that? They don't know. I don't know whether that's.
Well, they can't put it on the internet if it's not true.
Well, if it's publicly released at the end of.
Vanderpump the richest, though, on this list as far as net worth.
Well, that's why she buys and sells those bitches every season.
Yeah. Have you ever. Have you known anyone who ever went to her restaurant?
The Vanderpump Rules or something? No.
Yeah,
or Sir. Isn't that the name?
I think the name of the Sir. I actually have a copy of the menu here if you want to know the special at Sir at this very moment. These are all the things you can get for dinner tonight.
Family Gourmet Mac and Cheese Spirals. Sprite Lemon Lime Soda. Family Gourmet Jalapeno Slices.
Jalapeno.
Family Gourmet Italian Style Bread Crumbs. Family Dollar Bowls.
And if you want to order off the menu, Mike, the prunes are excellent.
Prunes.
Yeah,
I like prunes. Prunes are good.
I gotta check this out.
Yeah, the prunes. So they're all rich. The Neely's on Channel 50, and the show's over. How about that?
Hey, okay. There you go.
Isn't that great? Good stuff. Thank you, intern Ashley. Thank you, intern Maddie. Thank you. Pony Boy, do you have a good time today?
Oh, it's fantastic, Mike.
There you go. Always good. Glad to have you along. That's it. Thank you for supporting us on the TOS Bonus Hour. We appreciate you joining us for our sixth show of the week. Always a pleasure to have you along. And I hope you had a great time, because it was a great time being with you during your time, because our time together is the best time. That's the way we always look at it. Thanks so very much, everybody. We'll see you next time. Have a fabulous weekend and enjoy yourselves. The Mike O'Mara Show is signing off. Thank you and bye-bye, everybody.
Pat Neely.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, I just wanted to take this time out to say thank you to all the people who purchase our bonus content. The Mike O'Mara Show bonus hours are a little extra something we do for you each and every week. And those that support us by purchasing our bonus show content really make the show fly. Thanks once again for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show bonus hour.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.